Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pac-12 title game coming up on Friday right here on The Fan. So we're going to do a back-to-back look here, get a Oregon perspective coming up next with Matt Preem, but let's head on down to good old Salt Lake City. You can hear this man on 1280 The Zone, a former teammate of mine, and also the deliverer of the greatest ass-kicking I've ever taken in a football fight in my life when he hit me with a judo hip toss and then some sort of rock-bottom knee that completely ended that. That's the quickest football fight I've ever been in. Like, I'm not saying I'm the toughest guy in the world, but I did not have a problem throwing hands. And I thought that, you know, I thought I was a fairly tough guy. That thing ended immediately. I just remember making a wheezing sound and then laying down on the ground and being like, that's the end of that.
Well, the last thing I remember is getting hit by like five guys behind me and thinking, holy cow, Sook has a lot of friends.
Yeah, when you see an ass kicking like that, and you know, when you hear an audible like, then everyone knows they better jump in or it's going to keep happening. I will never forget that, because we were blocking. I was blocking him, and I went with a patented Sukanic dirty, probably hands to the face maneuver, or maybe some sort of rib shot as I was known for, and it did not go over well.
Well, so I grabbed fame by being the only guy that Lavelle Edwards has ever kicked out of the spring game. I just remember his, like, the utter look of disgust, because after you went down, I took two steps back and I ran and jumped as high as I could and brought the knee down because, you know, I was as dirty as you were. And those are good old times.
It's funny what you remember, man. I mean, we're both old men now, and, you know, we're doing this for a living. And I don't remember scores of games, and I don't remember win-loss records. But I remember a hip toss and a knee drop. I remember that thing like it was yesterday. It's just,
well, I remember watching this big old freshman walk into a weight room, and I'm over there doing shoulder press with Chris Hoak, and Chris is like, "Hey, I think that's the new center." And I look over, and you do that saunter that you do, and you put every plate in the room on that leg press sled. And then you stack like Satiminali and margin hooks and everybody else on it, and you start leg pressing. We're like, who's this guy? Who does he think he is with his leg presses?
Yeah, that was my attempt to be a badass, and then it was cured. It was cured real fast.
You should see how tiny his legs are now. They're so small.
Every team needs someone that puts someone in their place when the young guy comes in and is like, hey, watch this. Well, Hans Olsen was that guy. It's good to catch up, but let's take a look at this, Utah-Oregon. I've seen the Utes play a couple times this year, and, you know, I remember watching them play BYU, wasn't that impressed. Oregon State, that was a game that could have gone either way. I felt pretty confident in the Oregon game. I thought, you know, I know Utah's good, but, you know, you don't really see teams that are more physical than Oregon. I thought athletically Oregon was going to be superior, because when they've played in the past, the athletes tend to stand out a little bit more on the Oregon side. And then they go down there and just, they get Hans Olsen knee dropped and the thing's over before the half. So let me ask you the question. Do you think that that's the reality of these two teams, or is that the best Oregon played and is about as best as Utah has played and about as bad as Oregon has played?
Well, it's the best Utah has played for sure. And Sook, I think that Oregon State game was a wake-up call to Utah's manhood. Because Oregon State, I felt like they roughed them up with just power on the insides and really beat them in the run game and beat them soundly, blocked every punt they tried to punt,
yeah,
scored off of every punt that they tried to kick. And And I do believe they came out of that game like, oh. And I think Kyle Whittingham looked at that film and was like, nope, that's not how it's going to happen anymore. And I think Andy Ludwig, the offensive coordinator, came out of that game with a new design. And they put this, they ran all 13 personnel, three tight ends. Yep. They've got multiple block schemes off the three tight ends. When they don't have 13 personnel, they've got 12 personnel. And they ran so many different variations of H-back motions and inside traps and counter looks and then screens off of those looks. And even I sat there like, geez, I'm glad I'm not Oregon's defense.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not a defensive tackle on that field because you're getting blocked from every angle. And then watching what they did to Kayvon Thibodeau, like I went into that game, I'm like, hey, this guy's a pretty good defensive end.
Yeah.
And he's going against a new offensive tackle. It's a guard that was actually and they had another transferred into Utah, and he was the backup to another guy. And they didn't just block him man on. They blocked him with all kinds of scheme. And I think the Oregon State was a big-time wake-up call for them. And they had a couple of games under their belt to get their confidence. And then they put all three phases together. And it was an absolute all three phases whooping of Oregon.
Yeah, and you really, you look after the Oregon State game, which was close there, right? And then, you know, the block punt, and it kind of got away from there at the end. But, I mean, they rolled UCLA, demolished Stanford, Arizona, the beatdown of Oregon, and then Colorado was whatever. So, I mean, it really is, when you look at this Utah, I mean, it looks like a completely different team from when we saw them at the start of the year. When you think about that, right, they started out, yeah, what, 1-2, losing to BYU and San Diego State, of all teams.
Yeah, yeah, and probably another wake-up call for them. So, you know, they went through all this trauma, and it's been bad, Sue.
Yeah.
It's been really bad. It's hard, been hard on the community, and I know it's been really hard on the team. Were you in Provo when we lost Terrence Harvey?
Yep.
One of our
I was a freshman.
Yeah, and you remember it's just tough. You know, you lose a teammate in the middle of the season, and it shakes everybody's guts. And they lost two, and they didn't just lose, you know, a couple of part timers. They lost two integral parts of what they were doing, and so it felt like that's been a big distraction. And BYU and San Diego State was just a painful thing to watch, and it's all kind of shook loose. And, you know, it was weird. They had that Baylor quarterback that was a transfer that came in with 10,000 yards under his belt and beat out this Cam Rising, this freshman.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of bad games. They benched him midway through that San Diego State game and threw in Cam, and that kid was gone the next day. He was out.
Yeah.
He quit.
And been a different team ever since. So when you look at this, they always give you the adage that it's hard to beat a team twice. But when you actually look at the numbers in college football, it's actually not. It's overwhelming. In regular season teams that play twice, I think it's like it's almost 70% that you do win twice. And in the Power Five, it's even more than that. So that adage is, I kind of throw it out the window. So when you look at a team that just played, a week ago, basically,
mm-hmm.
Do you expect something different? How confident is Utah going in? Do you think that there's going to be different wrinkles thrown at what sort of adjustments, or do you just think that Utah at this point is just the better team?
Oh, no, I think there's going to be adjustments because I think Oregon's manhood was tested, and I've got to imagine that they're ticked off. And I was thinking about this. I'm like you. I took a couple of ass kickings on a football field. You know,
yeah.
I took a couple of bad ones. I don't know if you were there when Jones came in with Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, my gosh.
Yep. I played with him in Tampa later on, and he still was making fun of me all those years later. that guy ran for I don't know how many yards.
Oh, like 320 yards all on his own.
Yeah, Thomas Jones.
And they put up like 48 points on I think I'm just going to say it, on me, because I was solely responsible for a couple of gaps.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to blame Hulk because he had a much better NFL career than I did. But it was embarrassing. And I can tell you after that game, I thought to myself, I never want to play him again.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that guy.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, well, yeah, but you're a competitor, man. You want to face these guys. Well, sometimes, no. Sometimes, you take a good enough ass kick and you're like, I don't want to see that guy anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to play that game anymore. And I'm wondering where Oregon's mind is. If Oregon is in their mind thinking, oh, man, they got lucky. They got lucky here. They got lucky there. I can't wait to play them again. And they come in with the right attitude. Then that's a good thing. But I don't think Mario Cristobal can come in and just do what he did defensively.
Yeah.
And so I suspect that he's going to put an extra big on the field and say, all right, let's make this freshman beat us with his arm. Because they beat us on the ground. That Tavian Thomas ran all over Oregon. And my guess is Mario's going to say, let's make him beat us with the arm. I think that you'll see a variation of tight end routes that will break off those H-back movements. And instead of turning it into traps and blocks and double teams off the edge that force into the B's and C gaps, you're going to see, quick chips into quick dig routes and you'll see drag routes. You'll probably see some tight end middle screen, which they ran against Colorado so well. And I've got to imagine that they'll look at Oregon and say, oh, okay, they got an extra big in here. They're putting seven in the box, running another guy into the box. They're really focusing on stopping this run. And you'll see some variation. I don't think this game is going to look like the first game. I think the two coaching staffs are too smart.
Yeah. Do you like just the confidence level amongst Utah right now? Is this one that people are worried down there, or is it pretty confident, especially with, obviously the way the first one went?
Well, I get the feel that everybody's really confident.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a heavy level of confidence because of the way it went. Yeah. You watch that Oregon State game. We were talking about that punt block that went back for a touchdown. Right before the half, Oregon kicks it deep, and Little Britton Covey receives that thing and takes it back for a touchdown. To start the game, a freshman named Cole Bishop splits a tackle and the wing on the field goal block or the field goal team and kind of splits it, comes through free and gets a block on a field goal. And all of a sudden, Utah special teams are dominating along with what they were doing defensively. So, you get a touchdown from your special teams, and you're defensively, you stop the run, get a little bit of a lead, and then they go away from the run.
Yeah.
Oregon stopped running.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Oregon State kind of did the same thing against Oregon, which I still was blinking thinking, wait a second, man, you keep pushing even when you're down 21-3 or 24-3 or whatever it was. That Oregon State run game was so impressive when I watched it against Utah. But I can't imagine that this game goes anything like the first game. But I think everybody's pretty confident that Utah's going to get the win.
Yeah. All right. Well, we look forward to it, man. I thought this was going to be a colossal clash when they first met, and certainly didn't. The thing was over by half. So we wish you all the best down there. But from up here, we hope that Oregon has a little better fortune. And it was real good catching up with you. And I'm glad that all these years later, we can reminisce about knee drops and Lavelle Edwards tossing people out of spring games and those good times.
Hey, well, Sook, I'm on the long, lonely road between Provo and Vegas. You know the road very well because when we got bored on campus, which was often, this was the road we took.
Well, drive safe, my friend, and have a very reasonable time in Vegas. I'll say that.
All right, brother. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.